All right. Have a seat. Have a seat. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. All right. Good to be here. I didn't know what I was coming into. It's been probably, Brother Anthony, 15 years since I went to, I came and preached at a Spirit Week. And man, but I don't know what I was getting myself into this morning. I don't know if it was like a political rally or the Junior's rap concert. I mean, I didn't know what we were doing here. But and then all the cringy, creepy messages here, that's just too much. But you know, in a former life, I was a rapper. I used to rap, and I was a Christian rapper. And I used to, I learned how to rap the gospel. And so, yeah, I would just, you know, I'd go door to door, and you'd go door to door, and you'd say, hey, my name is so-and-so, and I'm visiting from First Baptist. Want to know if you'd be interested in coming to church. And by the way, would you know, if you died today, you'd go to heaven. And that's the typical way of doing it. I want to start a new class called Rap Evangelism here, I think. And it would go something like this, you know, it would go something like, I was walking down the streets, a knocking on the doors. I met this lady and a one or two of the Lord. I said, hey, lady, oh, can't you see in the good old Bible, John 3:16, it says you got worried and you're going to die. And if you don't get saved, you're going to fry. But anyhow, we're going to teach that in personal evangelism. So, hey, first of all, before I go on, I want to acknowledge a couple of the visitors. And first of all, if you're a visitor, this is not what we do every day. All right. You've heard on the outside, we're crazy. It's true. But this is not what we do on a regular basis. But just looking out here, just a couple of visitors I want to say hi to, because we've got some connection. Mrs. Anna Hallahan, how you doing? She was my student. And I know that's your mom. Too bad. And I threw her out of class. She was a seventh grader, and she just wouldn't shut her mouth up. So I threw her out of class. And anyhow, Miss Annie Wheatley Pine, what are you? You're Pine, yeah. And we taught together. She was a teacher at City Baptist for many years. Brett Haynes, Pastor Brett Haynes, congratulations. That guy got me in college. He got me in trouble in college. And Brother Vogel sent me a memo. Thank you, Brett. I was teaching youth ministry, and I called him something. If you want to know what I called him, I'll tell you later. And but I got, thank you, Brett. Congratulations on being a pastor. And just, we have about 20 juniors and seniors, City Baptist students here. They're somewhere spread around the crowd there. And so, and then let me see, Marisha Katie. Marisha, wave at me. Marisha Katie was just a little girl when I was a bus worker on the north side. She used to ride a neighboring bus, her and her brother, Chris Katie, crazy Chris. He is wild. And it's good that now she's got a daughter here at Howes Anderson College. So it's good to see you there, Miss Marisha. I think I got everybody there. I want you to take your Bibles, go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 today, very, very important chapter of the Bible. And we see here that there is a statement made in John chapter 6 that may be one of the saddest statements in the Scriptures. And if you'll go to John chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, I'm going to show you something really interesting. You'll look in Scripture. When it says disciples, a lot of times it is referring to those that were won by the 12. And the 12 meaning the disciples that Jesus called. And so if you go to verse 67, then said Jesus, unto the 12, unto the 12. So in the first verse, the disciples are the converts of the 12, those that followed Jesus and those that maybe went to the feeding of the 5,000 and so on. And then you see in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Can you imagine that? They walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, saw the miracles, where Jesus was. And then Jesus looks at them and says, hey, by the way, you've seen these fall away. will you also go away? I mean, you talk about it. If I'm a disciple, what a lack of faith in me. What a lack of confidence in me. And Peter, the big mouth, he opens his mouth and he says this. Then Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. I want to talk to you this morning just a few minutes on this subject. Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? / don't quit. Will ye also go away? / don't quit. You're on week number two of hype. You're on week number two or three of hype. And Spirit Week and new roommates and classes and ministry. And man, the hype is real. And the hype will take you only so far. After a while, you got to come back down to earth. You got to say, oh, you mean we got to go to class? Yeah, you got to go to class. You mean we got to get up and we can't spend weekends here? No, it's not a weekend resort. You got to get up and go do something. And so it's, will ye also go away? Now, when I think of this, of Christ asking that of his disciples, I think a lot of times if you were younger, maybe recently, when your parents will tell you not to do something, they'll say, don't do this, don't do this. And then you go ahead like the big dummy that you are and you do it. And then your parents come back with those immortal words, I told you so. We've all been there, right? All of us. We've been there where the parents or somebody has said, don't do this. And then you went ahead and said, I'm different. I'm an exception. I'm not going to get caught. If I do, I'll blame it on my brothers or sisters. And then something happens and your parents say, I told you so. I wonder when Jesus asked the disciples, will ye also go away? And later on, several of them left and only two were found at the end there at the crucifixion. I wonder if through their head rang the question, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. This morning, I want to share with you from the scriptures four reasons or four times you shouldn't quit. Don't quit. I've probably quit in my mind 1,000 times, but I also found 1,000 reasons to get back up and keep going. We quit all the time. The Marines, the U.S. Marines have a little motivational thing that they say, and that is that you quit in the mind long before you ever quit in the body. And you quit in the mind and in the heart long before you ever quit in ministry. Long before you ever leave that ministry, that route, long before you ever decide to go back to the world. By the way, isn't it sad you would go back to where the Lord brought you from? You'd go back to where the Lord brought you from. And the scriptures are very clear. Jesus says, will ye also go away? It was a problem with the disciples then. It's a problem today. We look through the crowds and the colors here. And if you notice, as the grades or the classes progress, there's fewer people. There's fewer people. Why? Because sadly, a lot will go away. And I'm not talking about going away from this institution. I'm talking about going away from the faith and the Lord altogether. Let's pray. And then very quickly, let me share with you four times, I think five times here, that you need to be careful not to quit. Let's pray. Father, would you come? Holy Spirit of God, would you please, Lord, do what I cannot do? I cannot preach. The Holy Spirit can convict. All I can do is read words that have power, and I need for the Holy Spirit to bring that power and that fire. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Reasons or times not to quit. And the one is when you're overwhelmed or low. When you're overwhelmed or low. I want you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. We're all going to get weak. We're all going to get low. We're all going to be overwhelmed sometime into our life. And I think that there's a clear warning here. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Hey, if you feel low, if you feel down, if you feel discouraged, that's a perfect opportunity for God's grace to shine. It's a perfect opportunity for God to work in you. And maybe you're already low. Maybe you're into week number two and you're like, I'm homesick. Hey, man, I miss food. I just miss food. And Man, I don't like my roommates. Man, these people, they're straight up barn animals, man. Why are they putting them in the dorms, you know? And you're discouraging. Man, I don't like, I'm from the country. I don't like the city, or I'm from this city and I don't like it here. Hey, when you're down and when you're low, that's a perfect place for God's grace to come and shine and to help you. It's not a time to flee. It's not a time to run. It's a time for God to lift you up and God to sustain you and for God to get all the glory. And we're all going to get low. We're all going to get down. You know, we want to suck our thumb and blame everybody and it's his fault and their fault. Listen, when there's going to be a time when you're going to feel overwhelmed. Classes are too much. Ministry's too much. My schedule is too much. I'm broke. I got no money. Can't even get a girl. Nobody likes me. Can't get a date. You're going to feel overwhelmed and low. Everybody, right? By the way, that's a true Bible principle for everybody. Whether you're a Christian here today or a college student, or you're a visitor, we're all going to be overwhelmed and low. That's a perfect place for God's grace to come and to lift you up. And everything that we go through is for one purpose, that God may be glorified. Man, they say, Brother Rick, you ever been low? Man, I've been low. I've resigned 3 times. I've turned in letters 3 times. 3 times, they're like, no, we pay you too little. No one else will take this job. Here, stay in there one more year. And yet I've seen where in my weakness, God was perfected. In my low point, God lifted me up. In the times that it was darkness, God shed and showed his light. I want to motivate you. I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you're already at that point. You're going on week number 3 thinking, man, wait, how many more weeks of this do we have? When do we get to go home on Thanksgiving break? Overwhelmed or low, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't turn in the towel and say, I can't do this anymore. Hey, just think. If you can't handle the things that are coming your way at 19 and 20, what are you going to do when you're 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 and life really hurts? What are you going to do when your spouse gets cancer, when your child dies, when your spouse leaves? What are you doing when the church votes you out? What are you going to do when there's no money? What are you going to do someday if you can't handle the little trial in your life today? Learn to have God's grace sustain you. Number 2, be careful that you don't quit and leave and forfeit everything that God has for you when you're unsure or when you're doubting. I don't know if God called me. Well, you're here. The Bible says the callings of God are without repentance. But the Bible also says in Ecclesiastes 5 about your vow. It says, say not thou before the angels that it was an error. Say, man, I don't know. But I tell you what, I have doubted my call to be a youth pastor 1,000 times. I'm sure there's an expiration date on me being the youth pastor. And I'm sure I'm not going to be a 65-year-old youth pastor. But I know that day's coming. And man, sometimes I think I'm the worst youth pastor that ever stood behind a pulpit. My teenagers here probably say amen. They're always in my teenagers. Hey, do you remember when you did this to me? Absolutely not. No, I am senile. I got dementia. Do you remember when you, that wasn't me? No. Do you remember when you said, I'm a man of God. I would never say that. There's going to come times when you're unsure and you're doubting. Hey, listen, I want you to listen to this real quick. Doubt is not defeat. It is an invitation to deeper faith. Doubt is not defeat. Man, I'm unsure. Keep going. I don't see a way. Keep going. Man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Keep going. You've heard the old Aesop's fable about the tortoise and the hare? And Mr. Tortoise is showing off, right? Or Mr. Hare is showing off. He's showing off about how quick he is and what a relaxed life he has. And he gets paces and paces ahead of the tortoise. And at the end, he decides to relax a little bit too much. He falls asleep and the tortoise wins. Listen, you could make it. You just go one more step and one more step. Brother Hiles would say, take the word quit out of your dictionary. Y'all don't use dictionaries. Y'all have no idea what that is. Block it on your ChatGPT or whatever. Amen. Brother Hiles would say, take quit and compromise and take them out of your dictionary. And I'm going to tell you, take quit and compromise and say, I'm not going to use those words. And there's going to be times when you're unsure and doubting. I want you to go to John chapter 20, verse 27, because look at Thomas. Thomas doubted. And by the way, the beautiful thing about the story of Thomas is that Jesus met him where he was. I love the gospel. I love the word of God. John chapter 20 and verse 27, you see Jesus and Thomas there. And he says this. You get there. I got a Spanish Bible, so I tengo que predicar en español porque si no, aquí no entiendo. Look at verse. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side. And be not what? Faithless, but believing. Jesus met Thomas where he was. He was faithless. By the way, he was faithless at that moment. He had believed prior. And I think there can come situations in our life where we become faithless because of one situation. The death of a child, or some awful thing that happens in our family, or some distrust in our marriage, or something that happens with our church or our pastor. And we've been faithful and believing the whole time. It just takes one little event that makes us faithless. So when not to quit? When you are down, overwhelmed, low, when you're unsure, when you're doubting. Number three, when the crowd is calling. I want you to go to John chapter 6 again. It's where we started. When the crowd is calling, hey, because the crowd is calling. Hey, why are you wasting your time in Bible college? Hey, why don't you get a real degree? Hey, how are you going to make any money? Hey, man, we're having a great time. By the way, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I've worked with teenagers for 40 years. I've been the youth pastor for 28 years here. Listen to me. When the crowd calls, it's not because they need you. It's because they're lonely. Is because they want somebody to come and validate what they're doing is fine. And it says this, go to John chapter 6 and verse 68. We see the, then Simon Peter had answered in him, Lord, to whom shall we go? And by the way, where are you going to go? He says, thou hast the words of life. Where are you going to go? You want to go back to where you came from? You want to go back to where Christ found you? You want to go back to where you were weak in your sins? You want to go back to where you were a slave? You want to go back to doubt? You want to go back to the times you struggled at night about your salvation? You want to go back to the nights that you struggled and during the conviction, during preaching? Is that where you want to go? Or do you want to go ahead to where God has a ministry for you and where God has a purpose for you and a go for you? Or do you want to go back? There's a little song we sing at our camp. I don't want to go back to the world. There's nothing in the world for me. I'm looking ahead, not looking behind. Don't want to go back to where I used to be. You say, well, Brother Rick, man, I come from a Christian home. It wasn't too bad back home. Yes, it was. It was comfortable. It was casual. It was you not fulfilling God's call and God's purpose in your life. You say, yeah, I'm not going to go back to beer and wine and women. No, but you're going to go back to comfortable. You're going to go back to being okay with being okay. You're going to go back to not being burdened about the world. You're going to go back not having fulfilled God's will for your life. And so the crowd's always going to be calling. The crowd always wants to add one more, not because they need you, because they want to use you. And because they're lonely. And because they're the ones that are saying, man, I really miss so-and-so. I wish they'd come back. Don't quit when the crowd is calling. The crowd's going to be calling. And they're going to be relentless. They're going to call every week. They're going to call every month. They're going to say, hey, man, we miss you. Hey, and then when break comes and Christmas break and spring break, they're going to be ready for you. They're going to test you. Don't quit. It was a young lady that came to Hiles Anderson here many, many years ago, probably 30 years ago. And she worked on a bus route. And she was not a productive lady bus worker, and it would bother her. And every week she'd come up, she'd say, "Brother Ricky, I'm a horrible lady bus worker. I've not brought anybody to church. Nobody's ridden my bus. And Brother Ricky, I'm just a horrible lady." And there were some other things that she got discouraged, and she left Bible college. She never came back. Several years ago, I was preaching at a church in Kentucky, and sitting up on the platform, and this middle-aged lady, I guess late 40s, whatever, came up to me, and she said, "Do you remember me?" And I looked, and I said, and I called her name. And I said, "Yes, you went to Bible college, you worked on bus route so-and-so." She said, "Yes." She said, "I'm sorry, Brother Torres, that I ever left Bible college." What I told her next just brought her to tears. I said, "You remember the family of four boys that you used to visit that had a mom and dad, and you said you could never bring visitors, but I told you just to love on that family, even if you didn't bring, I said, just love on that family." She said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "Well, the mom passed away many years ago. The dad was left to be a single dad. The dad moved to Hammond, Indiana, brought his boys on board, and put their kids in Hammond Baptist School. A few years ago, the dad passed away. The boys are all now grown men. They're all in their 30s. And I said, one is a pastor. One is a bus driver at First Baptist Church." She bawled crying. She said, "I can't believe I quit. I can't believe I left." And I didn't tell her this, but I wondered if she'd have stayed. I wonder how many more God would have given her. Do not quit when the crowd is calling. Then the last one, don't quit when you feel like you're not enough. Go to Psalm 103, verse 14. I think the cry of today in culture and society and the news is mental illness and mental health. And by the way, a lot of that could be solved if you would just obey the Bible. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. If you would learn to guide your thoughts according to the Bible, if you would stop having to go back and forth between your music and what God wants and your friends and what God wants and your will and what God's will is, you know what? You'd break down that double-minded will and God could work through you. And he says this in Psalms chapter 103 and verse 14. I want everybody to look at that. It's such a powerful verse. And sometimes, man, when you feel like you're not enough, when you feel, "Man, I can't preach, I can't sing, I don't know why I'm even here, I'm a talentless Christian, what in the world is God going to do with me?" You got to go over here to Psalms chapter 103 and you got to cry out to God and you got to read it back to God and you got to say, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth what? That we are dust." Ever so often you need to go to God and you say, "God, you made me. There's no mistakes. God, you made me, God. And God, I can't sing. I can't win people. I can't speak. God, look at me." And that's the devil saying, "You're not enough." And in God's eyes, you are enough. You're enough. I wish Christians would not tear each other down. I wish Christians wouldn't criticize. I wish Christians would help each other and try to flaunt. I tell the guys on preaching bus all the time, "You get up here and you preach your weakness, not your strength. Don't get up here and talk about some of you guys, I'll sit you down. Because it's not some of you guys, it's all of us guys." The devil will come in that voice and he'll say, "You're not enough." He'll say, "Look at you, you're useless. Look at so-and-so gets used and you know, he makes you feel indifferent and insufficient. He makes you feel like, man, why in the world go ahead and quit? Hey, look, you would get more in the world than you do here." And may I remind you that, like the Bible says over in the book of Acts that we read earlier, listen to me, his grace is sufficient. And I know I've worked with teenagers long enough. Matter of fact, I don't know how to work with any other group of people. Every day of my life, I'm with teenagers. I go around saying stuff to adults and they're like, "What are you?" I was preaching at a conference the other day and there was a young man, he was flashy clothes. And I just said to the young man, I said, "Man, you're full of riz." Ooh, you know, and everybody just went, the whole crowd went crazy. And all the old white guys on the platform looked at me like, "Whoa, what happened?" How many of y'all know what that means? Okay, good, okay. How many of y'all know what that means? Okay, good. Man, I'm around teenagers. But I do know what? I do know that a lot of teenagers look in the mirror and they say, "I'm not enough." A lot of teenagers never raise their hands and walk an aisle because they say, "I'm not enough." There's a lot of young people in here. You are limiting yourself for what God can do in your life because you keep hearing that voice that you're not enough. You say, "I'm not attractive." Then get attractive. How? I don't know. I'm joking. But we are going to feel, listen, I'm done. We're all going to feel sometimes like we're not enough. And when you're not enough, I guarantee you it's because you're comparing yourself to somebody else. Man, I admire, I was telling Brother Mitchell, I've preached in a lot of college chapels, and I've been to, I think, every major college, Christian college, I think. Man, there's something about a spirit here, and there's something unique here that you can't package and find anywhere else. I guarantee you, don't go looking for it, you're not going to find it. And there's, in a group like this, there's young people, you've got great potential, but you keep listening to that voice that says you're not enough. And that you're not enough is going to cause you to quit. That you're not enough is going to cause you to hold back. That you're not enough is the reason why you've not totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. The you're not enough is the reason why you've not surrendered to preach. The you're not enough is the reason why you hold back and God cannot use you like He wants to use you. I was at a meeting 2 weeks ago, and I was impacted by something a man said to me. I was at, of all places, a Starbucks meeting with a man that does church management software. Cool, exciting. We were meeting about getting some, learning how to do church management software for my church in Chicago. This man's not a Baptist. This man's, he's a believer. He believes in Christ. And in the middle of us, when we're done, he stood up. He said, "Pastor, let me pray with you." And I said, "Sure." And he began to pray, and he said, "Lord, pour on Hope Baptist." He said, "Lord, pour on Brother Torres." He said, "Lord, pour your spirit, pour your joy, pour your help." And I got to thinking, man, when I left there, I got in my car, and I mean, I just left a meeting on church management software. I was in my car crying. That's exactly what I want God to do. I want God to pour into me. See, listen, a lot of you, the reason you feel low is because you're so empty, God's not pouring into you. And when God does not pour into you, you cannot pour into others because the vessel is dry. Here's the message. Don't quit. Say, "I'm down." Don't quit. "I'm in debt." Don't quit. "I'm defeated." Don't quit. "I'm low." Don't quit. "The crowd's calling." Don't quit. "I feel low. I feel insignificant." Don't quit. Let me finish with this quote. Some find a way. Some an excuse. Some find a way. Some an excuse. Would you bow your heads, please? Would you allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in you? Would you meet the Holy Spirit where He met you today? Is it doubt? Is it defeat? Is it feeling like you're not enough? Is it looking back? Is it the crowd? And wherever the Holy Spirit met you today, come meet with Him.